another investigation into another foreign takeover deal. The Bush administration has begun a national security investigation into a second company owned by Dubai. This one is set to buy a British company with plants in the U.S. that make precision parts for engines in military aircraft and tanks. The Washington Post first reported the story today. This on the heels of the controversial Dubai Ports World deal to take over some operations at six major U.S. ports. And that's where we begin our conversation today with our regular political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome to you both.
Thank
you. Good to be here.
David Brooks, I want to start with you. This Dubai Ports World deal has become a big deal, both Democrats and Republicans saying they have serious security concerns here. And they're objecting not just to the substance of this deal, but also to how it was conducted, how it came about in secret. You seem to be saying in your column, much ado about nothing.
Completely bogus. It's a completely bogus issue. I've never seen or read an expert who thinks there's any serious security concerns. As everyone said, the security stays the same. Dubai has been one of our strongest allies in the war on terror in the region. They service, I think, 500 to 700 American military ships every year in Dubai, the same company. None of them seem to be blowing up. The management would stay the same. So to me, it's 80% xenophobia. People here, Arab, port, now I guess Arab machine tool, they get upset. It's a powerful issue. I've been stunned how powerful it is, completely without merit.
E.J. Dionne, completely without merit, or do you think there's some legitimate concern that underpins all of this?
Well, you know, I've been bothered by the argument that says that everybody who cares about this in some way is a racist or a xenophobe or a political opportunist. I think of somebody like Pete King, who's the Republican chairman of the Homeland Security Committee. I've known him for a long time. This is a serious person. This is not a xenophobe. Tom Kaine, the head of the 9/11 Commission, a Republican with, I doubt, a racist bone in his body, said that he was very uneasy about this. And I think there are two things that I think bothered people. One is that the administration, the people running this process, let's say, didn't even think to extend this, the 45-day period, to take a look at this more carefully. And secondly, and I think David will agree on this, it was astounding the way the administration handled this, not only that they didn't consult the Congress in the early phase, but that President Bush was almost immediately out there implying that people like Pete King and like Bill Frist and like Dennis Hastert were somehow being xenophobic just in raising these questions.
I'd like to turn to another story, and that's the videotape that was obtained by the Associated Press showing briefings among top administration officials and the president just before Hurricane Katrina. President Bush is listening in from his ranch in Crawford, Texas, hearing people warn about how bad things are going to be. Let's listen to a bit of this tape. This is how President Bush wrapped up the discussion on August 28th, just the day before the storm came ashore.
I want to assure the folks at the state level that we are fully prepared to not only help you during the storm, but we will move in whatever resources and assets we have at our disposal after the storm to help you deal with the loss of property, and we pray for no loss of life, of course.
Now, E.J. Dionne, there have been transcripts of these briefings, but now the videotape is there, and Democrats are seizing on this.
Right. Well, Democrats are noting that the president really didn't ask any questions, didn't seem engaged in that way, even though you just heard that he was saying we're all ready here. I think the second thing is Michael Brown is turning into one of the toughest critics of the administration. Former head of FEMA. Who has made the point that if you look at these tapes, he and a lot of other people gave serious warnings and that the administration should have been far more ready and that there was a real bureaucratic problem inside the administration. So I think these tapes simply continue the already existing criticism of the administration. And the timing of these tapes is obviously very convenient, coming right after Mardi Gras, when the country again turned its attention to the disaster down there in the Gulf.
David Brooks, did you see something new as you watched these tapes?
Well, I think, first of all, E.J. is right. The transformation of Michael Brown from sort of stupid frat boy to super administrator has been sort of striking. And I'm sort of abashed as a member of the media because in fairness to him, we certainly got him wrong. We all piled on. The second thing, and this occurs to me from the tapes, is that the president said the right thing in that meeting, but there was very little relationship between his words and what was actually going on in the government. And I do think this is sort of endemic of the Bush administration. I have to say, an administration that gives very good speeches, as far as I'm concerned, but doesn't always accompany those speeches with actual action. And then you've also got an administration, let's face it, and I think this and the ports thing are both symptoms of it, that's stale, that has not had a very high turnover, 6 years, a lot of deadwood piling up, and really needed to have a shakeup a year ago, desperately needed one now.
You've also got an administration that is dealing or should be dealing with some pretty daunting poll numbers. A new poll from CBS and the New York Times this week showing the president's job approval rating at an all-time low, 34%. David Brooks, how would the White House try to get that number up?
Well, you know, I know before November when they have to run, they really want the president's approval number to be in 47, 48 land. And they were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. Now it's gone down. Whether it's now possible to think of them up around 47, 48, where they need to be, I think, to have a decent shot of keeping both houses, it now looks like tough sledding.
E.J. Dionne, Democrats are looking at those numbers and thinking, we've got a really good shot at picking up governorships this year, maybe control of at least one of the houses of Congress. What do you think? Is that realistic?
Well, here, we can't tell from a number right now what's going to happen in November. But what we can tell from this number is that the Republicans are in danger of being in a vicious cycle. Because when individual Republicans look at a number like this, they say, I've got to separate as far as I can from the president as possible. And clearly, that's what they've done on the port deal. But the more they're critical of the president, the more this creates a sense of disarray in the governing party, which only deepens the problem of all Republicans. What you've really seen is a sea change in post-9/11 politics. It used to be the case that the Republicans were entirely united and they could pick off dissident Democrats. Now you've got a situation where Democrats are united and they're starting to pick off a lot of dissident Republicans. And that's a very worrisome thing for the president. It makes it harder for him to get up to that 47% that David was talking about.
The one thing I'd say is the Republicans who are most angry right now because of the ports are the most conservative Republicans. But the Republicans the party really needs to worry about are Republicans or moderates who live in upstate New York and in the Midwest, because that's where the swing House seats are. And in a lot of those districts, members from the areas tell me the president really is radioactive. And it's going to be up to the Republicans, I think especially in the Congress, to come up with a new agenda which will actually appeal to moderates again. And I know some people are trying to do that, but, you know, with all this noise, it's hard to get actually any domestic policy ideas out.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
David Brooks of the New York Times and E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution.